This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Hello, my name is Dr. Courtney Shelton. I'm a board-certified internist and primary care physician. I am the medical director and owner of Shelton Hospitalist Group, and I am located on the campus of Atlanta Medical Center, and I've been serving the Atlanta community for over 15 years. Welcome to The Checkup, a new health program on WCLK. I will discuss important health issues facing all of us using my own experience and that of my guests to give you knowledge you can use to lead a healthier and happy life. Today's topic is examining New Year's weight loss resolution failure. Medical research suggests that at the start of every new year, people make New Year's resolutions to get healthy by losing weight, going to a gym, or working out more. Some researchers have found that the first 2 weeks of the new year usually go along just beautifully. In a recent article by U.S. News, it was reported that during the month of January, weight loss resolutioners account for a swelling number of gym, yoga, and Pilates memberships. But by the second week of February, almost 80% of resolutioners are back home with a new kind of remorse. The remorse of weight loss failure and disappointment. By February, people have already begun to backslide. And by the following December, most people are back where they started and often even further behind. Today on The Checkup with Dr. Courtney Shelton, MD on WCLK 91.9, I will examine weight loss as a New Year's failed resolution. My guest in the studio today is certified by the American Aerobics or Fitness Association, the International Fitness Professional Association, and he is certified as a super trainer with more than 25 years of experience. He is the owner of Ultimate Bodies by Carlos, none other than Mr. Carlos Jordan. Welcome to The Checkup with Dr. Shelton, MD on WCLK 91.9.
Yes, sir.
According to the Journal of Clinical Psychology, approximately 50% of the population makes resolutions each new year to lose weight, to exercise, and to join a gym. In your opinion, as a fitness trainer of 25 years, how do you identify weight loss resolutionists who are people who procrastinate or even with a destiny to fail? How do you deal with that?
First, let me say one thing. I want to thank Dr. Courtney Shelton for allowing me to be on this platform today and sharing this big topic of people getting in, want to lose weight. The biggest thing that I've noticed is that they come in with unrealistic views of what it's going to take and how much time it's going to take to achieve their goals.
Why do you think people, they don't keep their resolutions? Are people just lazy, weak? What happens? What are those obstacles that you see?
I think being sanitary so long, then trying to become active, especially when you're older, it's more harder when you're older because your responsibilities is just to provide for your family. You put out no more energy than that. When it comes to generating more energy to working out, especially if you don't have a good leader, you're liable to fall by the wayside because it takes energy to put it into a goal that you haven't done in so long.
A recent study by the Canadian Obesity Network believes that people set unrealistic goals, to your point, and their expectations in their weight loss resolutions. What kinds of real-time unrealistic goals and expectations do you see all the time? What are some of those things that you see?
Well, in society right now, you see so many different things on social media, which right now women are really into building their glutes, which if people don't know what glutes mean, that's your butt. right. They really want this unique shape, and they have a skewed vision of what it's going to take. They want to come in and build their glutes. make the stomach flat or just keep the butt. And it's crazy. Like I said, they come in setting unrealistic views about what they want and what it's going to take. And I think what's a deterrent is it costs. Being in physical fitness is expensive. It's not a necessity, man. It's something you really need, but it's not a priority to most people. But once they get in and realize how much it costs, that's a determining factor how long they last.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, because I often, as a physician, I try to talk to my patients and teach them that it's important to invest into their life. Their health and fitness is an investment into their life, and it's the most important investment they can make. A psychology professor named Peter Herman and his colleagues identified the false hope syndrome. This means that a failed weight loss resolution is out of alignment with a person's internal view of themselves, how they feel about themselves. How important is an internal interview of oneself, and what makes the false hope syndrome damaging to one's self-esteem?
That's a good question. Sometimes people can give you false hope, and they can tell you what you can achieve, not having the knowledge themselves to help you reach that goal. It's major components when it comes to having the right nutrition or having the right knowledge of what cardio to do or what kind of workouts to do. And when these things not achieved, it mess with your psyche. Because people expect to go in the gym and lose this ton of weight in a short period of time when it didn't take them a short period of time to gain that weight. And I think they don't have the patience. So their patience runs out, because if you drop 3 pounds in a week, they consider that being a failure. They expect to drop 10 and 15 pounds in a short period of time. It just doesn't happen that way.
That's a very good point. I often talk to patients. I want them, let's set some goals. And let's focus on losing a pound a week. If we lose a pound a week, at the end of the year, that's 52 pounds. And not only that, if we can stick to this healthy lifestyle change and modification for a year, that means we've changed. We have a new habit, a habit of fitness. And so I think that's so important. If you are just joining the checkup with Dr. Courtney Shelton, MD, on WCLK 91.9, my guest is Mr. Carlos Jordan, and we are discussing the failures of New Year's weight loss resolutions. Mr. Jordan, the other aspect of failed weight loss resolutions can lie in cause and effect relationship. Some people may think that if they lose weight or exercise more, their entire life will change. Carlos, what exactly do you believe is the resistance that sabotages our lives and our intentions?
There's two missed components in that with me. I truly believe that your life can be redirected through the power of fitness. Anything that can enhance or change your personal view of what you see in the mirror is really empowering. Sometimes if you haven't dealt with yourself mentally and realize what kind of change you made, and you got to be with somebody to make you conscious of those changes that build you up during the process. So your teammate makes a big difference, which picking out the right coach or a trainer in your corner, then you realize what your potential is and not accepting less, expecting more from you. And then you become wanting more for yourself, and that spills over into your life. You start figuring, what else can I do in my life? I'll achieve this major goal. So it can be all life-altering if you got the right people in your corner.
Making positive weight loss resolutions require making positive behavior changes. Positive thoughts, feelings, and positive beliefs about what we eat by rewiring our brains, changing our habits. How do stressors such as anxiety, depression, frustration, fatigue, weakness, or simply bored, how do all those things contribute to weight loss failures and then subsequently lead to weight gain?
I would say start with what you eat. Just think about when you have Thanksgiving and all the food that you eat, the dressing, the turkey, and all the food, the macaroni and cheese, if you're eating those things, and how you feel once you get through eating it. You feel lethargic, you feel tired, you feel lazy, you don't want to do anything. Now think if your life was constantly consuming that type of food all the time. it's hard to generate any kind of energy doing any kind of exercise with that type of nutrition. So the main thing is addressing when you before you even start in the gym that I'm going to start a healthy lifestyle from the beginning. And that plays into your psyche because you can lose weight without even really going into the gym with just changing your diet and not consuming so much alcohol. All this stuff plays a key component. And you have to set realistic goals. Like you said, if you set a goal to lose a pound a week, and that is a healthy way of doing a pound and a half a week is great because you're still maintaining most of the lean muscle that you would build if you're doing weight-resistant training. And that's what it's all about. To change your shape, you have to change your mind, change your diet, change the way you just think. It's a whole pattern to not failing at your weight loss goals. But most people don't do that, so they end up failing at the end of the day.
In your practice, what are you seeing as some of the most difficult weight loss and fitness challenges for people to overcome?
Food is one. When you had a habit eating bad for so long and your circle of people that you hang with are still having the same issue, they still like eating the same food and you want to change, your support unit is only in the gym. Your trainer family is the only support unit you have. But when you spend your, it's where you spend your quality time is where it's going to be most important. We can only supervise you for an hour, hour and a half in the gym. And then you got the rest of the day left to be disciplined, to take in consideration of your goals, surround yourself around the right people. And sometimes people just don't do that. They still try to live the same life with the same people going the same direction. And sometimes you have to take a step back from doing the same things to stay, take a step forward.
It's funny. I always think of how people love Sunday dinner, but Sunday dinner turns into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that love of food and not wanting to change those habits often is a big issue, I think. Like you said, I think food is the biggest issue and obstacle in making these healthy lifestyle changes. I think another thing that's a big obstacle, how do expensive gym memberships and training contribute to failed New Year's weight loss resolutions? Often people get so they're worried about spending money. They spend money on everything else, but they go short on their health and fitness.
Well, in today's society, things, cars, money, jewelry, clothes, take precedence over anything physical. The power is things that you have, a big house. But people don't understand your illness is less expensive than your wellness. So you can get, you see it all the time. You see patients come in and they may have open heart surgery, and that can be extremely expensive, and it could have been combated if you had did the right thing. You had ate right, did the right things, take care of yourself, if it wasn't hereditary. But a lot of these goals that people make, they come in really unrealistic goals. And it's up to the trainer to paint a vision or a picture to those people and tell them what can they do. But instead, some trainers will, for a sale pitch, will sell the package to them just to get them in. You got to go in and you got to find the right support unit wherever you go.
What are some of the things a person who doesn't know a lot about fitness and is just beginning, what steps should they take toward identifying a trainer and also maybe identifying a gym?
Making sure their credentials are in order. See how long they've been in the industry. Before and after pictures are always good to see what bodies they have trained for. And then fill their personality out. Personality is so key. You got to definitely be on the same page. It's bad when you get a trainee that wants it more than a trainer. So you got to make sure the trainer the trainer should want it more for you than you want it for yourself, because it's going to be sometimes that people want to give up. It's got to be that person that's the support unit. Don't let them give up. Secondly, make sure that you do your research on someone that you want to train with and make sure that is affordable. If not affordable and they are good people, good trainers, and you did your research, ask them for a referral, because they're more insured. If they're people that care about people, they're going to refer you to the right person that can take care of you. So those are the biggest things that a person that knows your game plan, that you've seen their work, and you know they're capable carrying out your game plan, what you want for your health, and they give you a realistic overview of what they're capable of doing. So some people, you know, you don't want them to be set up for goals that you can't do.
What do you think about online reviews of trainers? Should we believe the things that we read?
Online reviews. Whew, that's big. I think you should be apprehensive about it. I think you should not phase it out. I think you should go in, if you decide to take a chance on that person, maybe minimize the number of sessions you get. Some trainers will do a trial. But it's going to take more than one visit to really find out what kind of training you have. Watch, and then sometimes, you know, if they'll let you, tell them, can you come in and watch a session and see how they treat their people and see how they interact in the gym. That's going to be a big difference too. The main thing is making sure that you do your due diligence. Because if you don't, there's a lot of people out there that looks the part, that have the foundation, look great. And everybody that looks the part, they can train themselves. Sometimes they can't train other people.
Well, I think one of the things that really makes you stand out as a trainer is you hold your clients accountable. And you do your energy, and you want us to – you want it more for us than we want it. And I think that's amazing, and you push us. And that's been very successful for me and my wife. That's helped us quite a bit, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for being a client, Doc. I need – matter of fact, your wife and you fuel me because I know the potential. And when it's like it's the same way. I mean, I'm not your father, but it's almost a father syndrome that you have, that these are somebody that's up under your umbrella and you want the very best for them. And sometimes it may come across that I do. I'm so passionate about it. I get more upset than my clients get. And some people don't know how to take it. And
that's true.
And I'm trying to learn not to be so passionate, but it's just a part of my DNA. I don't think I can change it.
Well, you made a very good point. We have a saying in medicine, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. So if we get our patients to exercise, make lifestyle changes, invest in a membership, invest in buying good, healthy, wholesome food, invest in doing activities that promote health and wellness, you're making an investment into your life. And if you make that investment, you lessen the risk of developing coronary artery disease and heart attacks, which is the most common cause of death. So it's all about making an investment. It's the best investment that we can make is into our lives and our health and fitness. What are some of the real gym phobias for an overweight or obese person? My wife and I have a friend, and it was interesting. We were out to dinner, and she placed herself at the dinner table so that people couldn't see her because she's overweight, she doesn't like people looking at her, you know? So I can imagine, here's this obese person that comes into the gym. They really need to be in the gym all the time, but they're looking around, looking off the treadmill and watching somebody else do 100 jumping jacks or whatever, and they feel like, wow, I don't look as good as them. It keeps people away. What do you think about that?
That is true. You really have to do a lot of one-on-ones. With me particularly, I may not have as much leniency with somebody I think has a lot more potential. But when you're dealing with someone that's overweight, it's mental things. Because you got to think, what made that person get to that weight? It had to be something that made that person stop looking at themselves and continue to gain weight and continue to change clothes size. So when you get to know them personally, a lot of people will open up. It becomes more of a personal relationship. It's the person that's leading them that have to nurture that relationship and know what lines to cross and what lines not to cross to motivate them, but don't make them feel bad and reward them when they're doing the right thing. So it's just a little different mindset when it comes to them. And some of the stories that people tell you through divorce or through death, and people start consuming food. That's comfort for them. So finding out what the issue are, just touching into their spiritual part of it, or even not spiritual, just touching into something that makes sense to them and say, hey, are you going to sabotage yourself too because this is not going right in your life or a relationship is not going right? It's just a lot of different things make people turn to food. Food tastes good, right, but a lot of food is not good for you. So then the aging factor, when people are getting older, you know, you try to talk to them since food has been such a big part of their lives, You try to tell them, especially when they're overweight, if they have no one to take care of them. There's a lot of people out here, they are individual. They have no other people to take care of them. So I try to talk to them, look, this is the only vehicle you got to take you through your journey. So we got to take care of this vehicle because you have no one else to turn to. So, you know, it resonates with them.
What are some of the tips for people who have failed in their weight loss resolutions? What are some of the things that you've seen with your experience that has really helped them have a positive outcome?
First, if really you're talking about losing weight, you need somebody that's a nurturer. So they got to nurture. They got to nurture the person that's doing it. They got to understand the person hasn't did anything in some while. And it took, if you're heavy, it takes you quite a while to go into the gym. So the environment you go into is super important. You got to go into a gym that's super friendly, that's super encouraging. The environment is family orientated. It's not a big, massive gym. And if they have people that are fitter than most people that's in shape, those are probably the most kindest people in that particular environment. You just got to be careful what you pick out. The big gyms, I think, would discourage a lot of heavy people because they have a lot more in shape people or a lot of people that are lifting heavier weight that intimidates you. So you just got to have somebody that can almost, in a way, personalize your workout even though you're in a group and still give you that attention or making you feel comfortable or talking you through it. Just being a partner, it makes a huge difference. You won't fail at that point.
For our listeners who wish to contact you for more information, how can you be reached?
The best way is that I say I'm like the equipment in the gym. I live in the gym. So my number is 404-872-3887. That's ultimatebodiesbycarlos.com.
You mentioned earlier about your health fair that we'll be having.
Yes. I think Dr. Shelton, him and I see alike in a lot of ways. And he's not a typical doctor. He's not going to just recommend pills to you. And he's going to tell you the honest to God truth, what you need to do to get healthy. And he's an advocate for fitness. He's also a person that works out. His entire family works out. He took on a healthy lifestyle because he wants to be here for his family. So I spoke to him about doing a health fair. I thought would be beneficial to a lot of people. Actually get a chance to meet him in person. Once you meet him, his personality will resonate with you that he's a guy that cares about your health. And I'm the same type of person. So we're talking about doing something in 2 weeks.
So February 25th, we'll be having a health fair at Ultimate Bodies by Carlos.
Yes, sir.
The address is?
1830 Piedmont Road, Suite F as in Frank. That is Atlanta, Georgia, 30324.
Well, Mr. Jordan, thank you for being on The Checkup with Dr. Courtney Shelton, M.D. on WCLK 91.9 today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning for The Checkup. I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton, and you can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. I can be reached at 678-705-2355. That's my office number. And on Facebook at Shelton Hospitalist Group. My address is 315 Boulevard Northeast, Suite 310. That's Atlanta, Georgia. The Checkup is produced by Judy Crocker Billingsley and Rob Maynard. Thanks for listening.